This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Friday, Bart Scott. What do we used to call Fridays?
Duck It Fridays.
Yeah. I thought you would just go with the F It Friday, but okay. That's what it feels like today. Weather sucks again in New York. We had one day. That's all we were allowed to have. They already postponed the Yankees game tonight.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, listen, you don't want to mess up the Yankees and their groove, man. We don't want no team winning because of elements. You know what I'm saying? Because we know if the Yankees just go out there, currently constituted, that they gonna go out there and do their thing.
I bet you the Phillies wish they canceled the ninth inning last night.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
What the hell was that? Oh my God! But in Philadelphia, they're miserable not only because their team blew, 7-1 lead, but in Philadelphia, there's some concern. But maybe there's a ray of hope in Philadelphia, Bart. Perhaps there is. Yeah. On a cloudy day. We're singing today. It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And let's get right into it, my man, because we got a lot to do today. Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, is this. Joel Embiid has been cleared, at least from the concussion protocol. However, he is still listed as out for tonight's game, Game 3 now in Philadelphia, against the Heat. They're down 2-0. And this is a game which, by the way, you can see on ESPN. You know how it goes. When you're down 0-2 and you go down 0-3, it's the death knell in the NBA.
Right. It's no
We've seen the comeback
NBA,
in baseball. We've seen the comeback in hockey. You're just not going to see a comeback from 0-3 in the NBA playoffs. So you lose this game, the series is done. And they likely won't have Embiid tonight. So, Bart, is the series over?
Let me tell you something. One, Joel Embiid is a lot of things. One thing he's not is soft. And he is the unquestioned leader of this team. Do you think he really passed concussion protocol? Stop it.
Well, he's going to actually pass it, though.
Son.
Legit have to pass it. What do you mean?
What's legit pass it?
Let
me tell you about the protocol.
Okay.
We do a baseline test in football. I got every answer wrong on purpose because I knew if I had a concussion, I can get at least half of them right.
What the hell?
So we do – listen, it's rules to this, man. Like, we understand what we sign up for. And when you're a warrior like Joel Embiid is – and when you know the time is now when he's running out of time, because if James Harden is just – is this the best James Harden? Is this the best James Harden he's ever going to play with?
Ugh.
You know what I'm saying? Because that may not be enough to get him a title. So this may be his best chance to win a title with James Harden.
Stop.
Because this may be the best James Harden that he has.
This better not be the best chance. Look, I got a cautionary tale if you're in Philadelphia, and it's one that I witnessed myself. But just to update again, Joel Embiid has been cleared from the concussion protocol. He did participate in the shoot-around this morning with the Sixers, but he's listed as out for the game. That, of course, as we know, can change. You can change that all the way up to right before tip-off. Literally, I think about a half hour before tip-off, you have to put the lineups in.
He will.
Do you think he's going to play or not?
Man, listen, I bet my bottom dollar. He will walk through that tunnel like Willis Reed. He might not even come to the shoot-around. Right? It might be right before.
Warm-ups.
The warm-ups. He might not even come to the warm-ups. He might come there with his dun, dun, dun. He's going to come out with his little Batman thing on.
Yeah.
And he's going, you know what I'm saying? He's going to come out looking like the Darth Knight. And then he's going to have a cape on. And he's going to be running right before tip-off. It's going to be four people out there before the tip-off. It's going to be four.
This is my city.
It's going to be four people.
Why did all the Batman have to grow? Why did they all talk like that?
I don't know.
You really clean up the streets with you.
Like, they all told what Christian Bale did it the best, but they all seem to do. Even Michael Keaton, when they have the uniform,
it's a,
boy,
it's
the
a
mask
voice
on.
Thing they put on. It's a voice thing they put on or something.
You nearly adopted the dark. I was born in it.
Watch him run out there with his little Batman, because remember last time it was black. He's going to come out black. He's going to come out. And listen, he's going to come out right before the tip off. Everybody, they're going to be, the Heat going to be looking around like, damn, who the hell's jumping up? Like, it is going to be four people. He's going to come straight from the tunnel, straight to jump the ball up. The place is going to erupt. Meek Mill going to be there. Kevin Hart, all five of the Philadelphia stars that they have in that city, going to come out there and it's going to be lit.
Yeah. I mean, look, they need something. They need some type of inspiration. Could he do it? I mean, I still think they don't win the series, mainly not because of him, but because James Harden's not doing enough for them as a duo. They would have to be a dynamic duo, speaking of Batman. That's what they'd have to be, not just like a good duo. Dynamic, like unstoppable, just unbelievable force. They have not showed us that outside of the first five games they played together when they played some bad teams and they smoked them. But from that point forward, they have not really given you that vibe. Like, wow, these two are tough. It's more, Tyrese Maxey's been great.
Right.
He's been wonderful. But aside from that, there's nothing about the Sixers that gives you the vibe like, man, this team's going
to
be tough.
Well, you have to know or you have to expect maybe that some of the role players like Tyler Hero, Sixth Man of the Year, congratulations, right? Some of those guys may not show up and give you the productivity that you got there. And the fact that Joel Embiid is there allows them to maybe nullify defensively Bam Adebayo, who's been killing them because they had so even nothing if his defense is good there, nothing in the paint, a big body, a deterrent from like free tolls, to go to the basket. Just his huge presence changes that series and also could get Bam Adebayo in early foul trouble if he decides to say, you know what, I got to play on the block. I understand his dangers coming from a concussion, but I think that may be the best Joel Embiid where they slow the game down and give him the ball instead of, and let him be able to be able to dish out from the post, outside of there. And listen, all they need is Joel Embiid and Harding to put together a Joel Embiid thing combined, right? So if Joel gives you 20 and Harden gives you 16. That's 36. And then you need Maxey and Tobias Harris to have the same games they had in game two.
Sorry, that's not enough. I'm convinced.
That's not enough. Maxey put up 30. Tobias Harris put up 30. What they were missing was the 20 from Joel Embiid because he wasn't there.
All right. Well, again, if I'm Miami, I'm looking at this series and I'm looking at the way the Bucks and the Celtics are playing. They're only playing a game three tomorrow. And I feel like let them beat each other up for six games or seven games. Let's get out of this thing as fast as we can. Even if Embiid plays tonight, you don't know what you're getting out of him. And if you're the Heat, do not mess around. Like, to me, this is – if you're the Heat, you approach this like must win this game. Don't mess around with this team. But what do they have with James Harden? Well, Vince Carter, who was on KJM, he talked about it's not just James Harden. It's what the Sixers are lacking – plus what they're not doing for him. Take a listen.
My question when the trade happened was, where's the shooting coming from? Where are they going to get shooting coming from? That's the problem. You traded your elite shooter. And we look at Harden, Maxey, and Tobias, and they were 4-for-14. And then you look at Danny Green, Niang, and Korkmaz, who will probably be your three-point shooters, 4-for-16. That's 8-for-30. So they're not making it any easier. Yes, James Harden doesn't have the first step and not like the Houston Harden that we know, but they can't go any other way to make the game easier for him. Unless, have a little ball movement. Get James Harden a live dribble on the second side. Start the ball on one side, let the defense shift to the other side, and then kind of let him work his way and draw fouls that way instead of just dribble, 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 try to create. Those days are gone right now.
Yeah, and Vince is what Vince is saying there, I agree with. And if you look at the numbers, Bart, I was checking these out this morning. So he is shooting. This is I found this amazing. He's shooting 28% from 3 to 10 feet from the basket. I mean, you would think 3 to 10 feet from the basket shouldn't be that tough, but he's going up against, this is in the playoffs now, he's going up against length against the Raptors and length against the Heat. But the other question, the other problem that he's having as well is the ISOs. You heard him just say that. They're not moving the ball. He's averaging the most ISOs per game in the playoffs at 8.9. It's just a little more than what Luka Doncic has. Luka's at 8.8. Here's the difference. James Harden is shooting 32% on those ISOs. Luka is shooting 47%. What would you rather have? So the effectiveness of him in the ISO is not there. As Vince said, that's not his game anymore. They need Brooklyn Harden. That's what they need. They need Brooklyn James. And they don't have that right now, and I don't know if they ever will in this playoffs. But I'll tell you this. If I'm in Philadelphia, here's your cautionary tale. All you Sixers fans, you're going to hate this. But it's the truth, because I watched it. Joel Embiid and the Sixers are very closely starting to resemble Patrick Ewing and the New York Knicks in the 90s.
Ooh.
Now, aside from 94, which they were inches from a championship, and 99, where it was just a miracle run, but Patrick wasn't really a big part of that. The Knicks were, it was all heartbreak. They was either running into the Bulls and they couldn't beat them, or just something, controversy, a player doesn't want to be there, or maybe it's a Pat Riley didn't want to be there, and that changed things up. They went through a coaching change for 2 years. You had some issues on whether it's Anthony Mason and giving him the ball, Patrick Ewing not ever feeling happy or wanted, them always trying to find ways to build teams around him and win a championship while you have him. There's a desperation a franchise gets in when you have a player like this. You realize we've got to do it while he's in his prime. And it can take a long time to do it, and you're constantly turning it over, turning it over, turning it over. So, the Sixers are going to be facing again, like, all right, Ben Simmons wasn't the right guy. Jimmy Butler apparently wasn't the right guy. Now you're being asked, is James Harden the right guy? And if he's not, you go into this offseason asking yourself, am I paying him $47? Am I paying him $50 million? Or am I letting him walk and trying again? What do you trade for Bradley Beal or someone else? They're in that place now where his odometer keeps ringing up. And you've got to find a way to win a championship with him. But Bart, this is not a championship team as constructed right now. Not when you watch the rest of these teams in the NBA. So the Sixers already know in the back of their minds that they know, boy, this offseason, we're going to have to reset and do it again and hope to build the right thing around this guy while he's still held together because he does get hurt.
Tell me this. At what point does the Joel Embiid story become the Dame Lillard story? Where he has to be the one to say, you know what, it's time for me to go.
And go somewhere else like Charles Barkley did?
Yeah, I can't.
All those years ago?
Yeah, I can't win it here. Because we think that Dame is 2 years past that point.
Mm-hmm.
How loyal is Joel Embiid? Or will he say, you know what, I've given you guys everything I got. The best thing I can do for you guys is bring back a mega star.
Wow.
Because if they put Joel Embiid up, because nobody's going to take James Harden. If they sign him, they're stuck with him. Right, mm-hmm. He'll never be able to move him. But
you're
listen,
right.
This guy is a unicorn. It is on. He's a one of one. Jokic is good and great at what he does, but he's not the two-way player that Joel Embiid is. Joel Embiid is arguably, and maybe this can be the question of the day. Name me a more dominant big man on both sides of the ball than Joel Embiid
in the NBA today.
No, ever. I'll give you Lou Alcindor. That's it.
In the NBA, or you mean all time?
All time,
man.
Sometimes
I can give you five right off the top of my head.
No, you can't. No, you
absolutely. I could.
No, you can't.
They're all in the Hall of Fame.
No,
Art.
You can't. No. You can give me Kareem. Nobody. This is the most skilled, most dominant big man in the history.
Shaquille O'Neal.
No.
Yes.
Shaquille O'Neal did not have half the skill set and dominance of Joel Embiid capability.
Yes,
he can run the court. He can throw.
Are
a
you
hook.
Talking about a guy that he can't shoot threes? Okay.
Yes,
fine.
I'm talking about
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Dream couldn't shoot threes.
He could have.
We never seen him. We know Patrick had range, but Patrick could have been a
3-point shooter.
He didn't have the handles in the nimble footwork.
Well, again, it's all about development.
He's the evolution of all those great big men coming together.
I'll give you that.
He's the best of all of them.
I'll give you that, but you're crazy to tell me that there has never been, aside from Kareem, there's never been a more dominant two-way big man in the league? Come on.
I'm not giving you that. The closest ever is Hakeem Olajuwon. That's the closest.
Hakeem Olajuwon. All right.
But was Hakeem even 7 feet?
888-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Of course, we get right to your calls as we always do every day. I will, though, later on, speaking of money and all that stuff when it comes to Harden, here's why if you're the Sixers, you got to walk away from this. I'll explain that coming up a little bit later on the show. But in 30 seconds, let's get to the Warriors-Grizzlies series, which will continue tomorrow. We have two games tonight, Heat, Sixers, Suns, Mavs. And then tomorrow, Saturday, you've got a great doubleheader. Of course, you got the Celtics and the Bucks series. And then the Grizzlies-Warriors series that's just starting to heat up now. Game 3 as well. And there's something about that series to discuss.
I need, Alan,
but,
I saw you dunking last night. I saw you doing your thing. Throw me the oop. Throw me the oop. Throw me this read. Throw me the oop.
All right. Bart has this from Straight Talk.
Cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good. I mean, really good. Actually, it feels great. You should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering our $45 Silver Unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot and nationwide 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless, no compromise. no contract. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G compatible device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speeds may vary. Music out of the library.
No.
Moran waits for Williams, now steps back, takes a three, got it! Grizzlies go up 98-97.
The spirit that he plays with, it's infectious. I've said it since day one, like, you know he's going to be built for moments like this, you know, and this is super impressive.
Definitely big time. Definitely up there. I felt like, you know, this was kind of a must-win game for us and, you know, for me.
All right, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Yes, and that was all Straight Talk, brought by Straight Talk Wireless. And you heard right there, Ja Morant looking at this series. Oh, they're going to have some fun. That's what Steph Curry told them after game one, and Ja let them know after game two. Oh, yeah, we're going to have some fun. And Bart, as I'm looking at this series, I feel like I'm the guy on Friday. I felt like the Warriors, the way they looked, the big three back together, the fact that they were healthy, the fact that they had a lot of young bodies, and they still had their championship DNA from coach to big three, that they had a run in them to win a championship. After finding out that Gary Payton II has the slight fracture in the elbow, some ligament damage as well, and will likely miss the next at least month of basketball, You lose him and his defensive impact. I feel like that has championship impact. I feel like you're going to say, well, wait a minute. It's not like you lost Klay Thompson. You understand how important Gary Payton is as a defender against the Ja Morant and what he was able to do against him. And then what he could be able to do in the next series if they get there against the Devin Booker and Chris Paul. This hurts them defensively. And unless Andre Iguodala at 37 can come back, which he might tomorrow night, and be a defensive stopper, I think it really does hurt the Warriors more than anybody wants to believe.
Allen, I cannot disagree with you more. Now, I understand, listen, this team is one of the most resilient teams. This is one of the best coach teams of all times. You don't think Steve Kerr could come up with a game plan, boxing one, whatever he has to do to take away Ja Morant? You don't think that Steph Curry is capable of going on one of these 50-point sprees? One of the beautiful things about the last 2 years of Golden State basketball is Steph Curry reminded us that he was probably one of the best, not just shooters, best players of our time. And that he suppressed himself to allow Kevin Durant to be a star. We forgot what he was capable of. And you mean to tell me this young whippersnapper with the little braids and the color in his hair and the slash eyebrows is going to defeat the champs? No, it's not their time. They're a little bit too early. And guess what? They will listen. The Warriors in that arena with E-40 sitting on the mic going, ew. You mean to tell me they're going to lose to these young chumps? No, no way, no how. It may go seven, but listen, they will find a way. Steve Kerr has too much knowledge to dial on. They don't have enough in Memphis to beat the Golden State Warriors. And listen, you talk about this Phoenix team. This Phoenix team is flawed, too. And we'll see. We'll play the matchup game when they get there, Draymond versus Aiden and all that stuff.
We got to get there first.
We'll get there. But right. I think that the Warriors – listen, you act like they haven't did what they were supposed to do. They took home court. Man. Now they go home to one of the loudest arenas, and we've seen this Memphis team struggle on the road against Minnesota. And if they go down like that with the Warriors and their championship DNA, it won't be no 20-point comeback.
All right. I feel like you lose a big defensive stopper like that, that hurts your team. Now, the X factor becomes, I said this on Get Up this morning, Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson, remember, he was one of the best two-way players in the game before the injury. Yes. He's been out for 2 years. He only played 32 games to finish the season, and he's only played 7 playoff games. And so, you know, it's still not a lot of time, but you would think by now he has got to be able to get himself to a point where he is a lot more effective than we saw him, especially down the stretch of games 1 and 2. Now, game 1, he was effective because he made the big three that put them up for good. that gave him that final lead, and they were able to hold on because he was also part of a defensive stop. But he's not shooting the – like, it's weird some of the shots he's taken. It's either he's out of rhythm or he can't find his place in the offense because Steph Curry has been dominating the shots, especially down the stretch. When you look at the numbers, you scratch your head at, wait, where's Klay Thompson's impact? I'm not seeing it, and I'm used to seeing it. So he's had 3 days off. He's going home. I want to see if Klay Thompson steps up in this game, which we know he can,
take
becomes that factor. And if he doesn't, I'll agree with you. But if he doesn't, that door is open for the Grizzlies to make this a long series and possibly. And then, by the way, it's not an upset when you're the higher seed.
Yeah.
But we would consider it. We would consider that an issue.
Well, chew on this. Chew on this, Allen. How about bring Klay off the bench? Let Wiggins be, because Wiggins is physically able to carry the team. Remember what Wiggins was before and after the All-Star break when Klay really came back. Remember, Wiggins is an All-Star. Hold on. Are you serious? Wiggins is an All-Star. He's capable of carrying that. Let Klay come out and cook against the bums, the second unit, and rely on his defense and work him in. We've watched Steph Curry come off the bench. How did that work out?
Nah, that's not happening.
You don't think so?
No, man, that's not happening. It's Klay Thompson. You're not taking him off the bench. He just has to find himself. That's it. Find himself. He's averaging 20 a game in the playoffs. It's not like he can't find himself. It's just these first two games against Memphis, he has not been right, and he's just looked out of it. Like he's taken some weird shots that are not in rhythm, that are a little off balance, and he's not making shots either, which it's down the stretch you expect Steph Curry and Klay Thompson to make shots. When they don't, you look at it funny. Like, well, that's not right. That's not normal.
I like to see him go off the bench.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. By the way, I guess so. Iguodala, I originally thought that they said he might be possible to play in game three, that they thought he was recovering better. But in fact, I'm being told he is at least another week.
I'm telling you.
They don't even have him.
I'll tell you what, I would bring him off the bench. I love Kuminga, his energy. Remember, that was lineups when Klay was injured.
Well, they got to get bigger.
They were balling.
That part, you're not wrong that they need to get some more size.
Right, and then bring Klay off the bench and let him
tell you
cook
something.
That
you're already. Look. It's a Friday. We called it Effing Friday. You're already pissing people off about what you said about Joel Embiid.
It's the truth.
Don't,
sometimes
already,
they can't handle the truth.
Well, you know what? Let's see if you can handle the response we are getting to that take by you. If you're just joining us, Bart Scott said there's no other player, maybe Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he called him Lou Alcindor, that has a bigger impact as a two-way big man than Joel Embiid in the history of the game. And when I said Elijah Wan, he said no. When I said, Shaq, no. How about if I said Bill Russell, would you say no?
Man, Bill Russell was a glorified power forward playing in the era when it was a bunch of short people. And he was just a high energy. He was the first Dennis Rodman.
This is what we're doing. It's Friday. F it Friday.
He
Your
couldn't
call's
shoot.
Coming up. Take on Bart Scott on this Joel Embiid take. Yeah, this is how we start the show. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
Did I strike a nerve? Listen.
Our show's Twitter page, at Bart and Han on Twitter, is blowing up right now with people that are a lot of Pookie references. Be cool with me. A lot of Stephen A. Stay off the weed.
Sometimes you have to step out to be different.
That's not being different. You saying that Joel Embiid is
arguably the
best,
most talented big man in the history of the game. Tell me where the lie is. You want to go?
No. You didn't say arguably one of the best. You said there's no one better.
I said I'll give you
Kareem. Maybe Lou Alcindor.
Right. Where's the lie? You don't think he's a better player?
The whole thing is a lie.
You don't think he? Let's go down the list.
Where's the lie? The lie's right there. It's there. I'm pointing at the lie.
He's better and more skilled than Shaq. Maybe not as dominant because the game is different where Shaq can get away with a lot of stuff. Now it's guys sit here flopping like a Fosbury flop. That's where it came from, the high jump, Fosbury flop. They sit up here jumping all out of there. You know what I mean? So, like, Joel Embiid, Shaq used to just throw guys down. Like, Shaq would have got an offensive foul for the dunk that he did on the dude from the Knicks, and he humped him and hit him with his pelvis. He pushed him down. That would have been an offensive foul. But you talk about skill set, three, the ability to inside, outside. He can average 30 from the block.
What Shaq did to Chris Dudley, let's be honest, today would be considered a flagrant two.
That's what I'm saying. So,
and
I
then
mean,
Dudley throwing the ball at Shaq would have been a flagrant one.
Exactly. So tell me this. Joel Embiid, just as big as Shaq, maybe a little smaller, 280, 7'2". Shaq's probably 320, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a big difference.
Shaq
that's
don't have
40 pounds.
Shaq, but look at but it's no big centers no more. So
I can't.
It's no big centers no more. Draymond Green is a center. Next year, Ben Simmons will be a center. Like, Giannis
then
is
what
considered
are you, some, wait, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. You understand now you are arguing with yourself and your other voice is winning. Because you just said that Embiid, and there's not a lot of big centers in the game anymore and stuff. And you just told me that Bill Russell isn't great because he played at a time where everybody was small.
What did Bill Russell – Bill Russell was a power, glorified power forward. He was Dennis Rodman. Wow. Like, let's be honest. Like, wow. He was Dennis Rodman.
Guys, tip backs, me today.
Tip backs and leak outs. Stop it.
Jeez.
Show me 50 jumpers that Bill Russell ever hit.
You understand how canceled you'd be right now if you were me saying that?
It's the truth.
You just said.
Listen, we just accepted. That's why, if that's the case, with his 11 championships, he should be considered the greatest basketball player of all time. Why don't we say that? Why don't we say that then, Alan?
Because not enough people saw him play.
Oh, my God. The same people saw him play, saw Wilt Chamberlain play, right?
And nobody.
But everybody still put Wilt Still up there. Why don't they put him there? He got 11 titles. The all-time winning player.
Russell ahead of what? Right, I gotta get some other people in on this battle. It's Bart versus everybody today. We begin with Laverne in Chicago. Laverne.
God knows. Oh my God, Bart, are you smoking something?
Not yet.
Because, you know what? Let's go with Artis Gilmore. Let's start with Artis Gilmore.
Come on, son. Hey, you about to go George Mikan?
You know what?
Artis Gilmore.
You know what? Artis Gilmore would manhandle Embiid now.
Mm. Oh, hold on.
No,
and you know what? Wait, no. Hold on, nothing, Bart. You really just lost it today. Go home and sleep it off this weekend. You really got to.
Are you serious? Man, first of all,
listen,
he used to destroy, like, Hakeem had that famous series where he destroyed Shaq. He don't have those same advantages over Joel Embiid Shaq that he had like over Shaq. Because
20 years old.
But Shaq had no game outside of power. Joel would take Olajuwon to the three-point line and just create space and step back and shoot the three. And I love Hakeem the Dream. Hakeem the Dream is my favorite.
This is happening.
Body Hakeem, too.
Listen,
Hakeem was like,
you made your case. Let people come at you, please.
Well, keep coming. Come better than Laverne. I thought that was Laverne from Laverne and Shirley, and then it was a dude.
Damn. Mark is in Jersey. Come on, Mark.
Yeah, I find what Bart said is absolutely insane. I think, you know, we're talking about big men here. Anybody 7 foot and over. How can you not mention the talent of Dirk Nowitzki? Give me Dirk Nowitzki.
Man, Dirk Nowitzki couldn't fight his way out of a wet paper bag. He couldn't defend nobody.
He's a legend.
He was Luka.
He's a legend.
He was Luka. He was the fish. Dude. People were trying to. How many block shots does Dirk Nowitzki have in his life? Dirk Nowitzki was a defensive liability. I'm talking about all-around defensive player. Like, Dirk Nowitzki, man, come on. You could have got me with Larry Legend. He was a power forward, too, because he wasn't trying to take no smoke from no real center. When have you ever seen Dirk Nowitzki check Shaquille O'Neal? Never. And they played during the same time. He would be like, somebody go get that. You know what I'm saying? Who's that, Brendan Hayward? Yeah, you go handle that, pimp. Nah, I'm go ahead. Like, Kevin Garnett, like, was pretty much a power forward. I'm talking about center, son. Come correct, man. Like, really, Dirk Nowitzki? You wouldn't put your life on the line with Dirk Nowitzki to stop Chris Paul for the game winner.
I mean, Chris Paul is really difficult to stop, though, if you think about it.
Okay, well, Kevin Duckworth. You wouldn't trust him to stop Kevin Duckworth.
How many blocks do you think in his career Dirk Nowitzki had?
240.
In his career?
Yeah, about 200.
His entire career?
Yeah, 240.
How about add 1,000 to that?
He had 1,200 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
They was all guards.
Oh, 8-8-8.
Okay, so who's the best? Who's the better defender? Joel Embiid or Dirk Nowitzki? Is it even close?
I don't know. No, you're on this one. I can't save you now. I tried.
Artis Gilmore.
Come More on, your son. Calls as people.
Is it black and white?
It is Bart versus everyone on Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Donnie is in Georgia. Donnie, take on Bart.
Hey, Alan. Hey, Bart, first time caller, long time listener.
I got you. I got you the dollar. I'm glad I got you the dollar number, man. I pissed you off that bad, huh?
You ain't pissed me off, Bart, bro. Not at all. But I wanted to tell Alan, he's definitely invited to the picnic. You ain't getting canceled. Just don't bring no potato salad. But you're never getting canceled.
Hold on. You assume that Alan put raisins and walnuts in his potato salad.
I've never done that in my life.
I just
life,
don't want ever. Alan to bring no potato salad. Alan don't look like he could cook. He look like, you know.
I can't eat, though. Like
but
hey, you're not wrong, Donnie.
For you, Bartholomew, I wanted to see – I have two centers that would dominate Joel Embiid. First of all, Shaq would just kill Embiid in the paint. And you
whoa, whoa, whoa.
How can you forget David Robinson?
I love Ooh, the Admiral.
Come on now, Bart.
Donnie, I love the Admiral just as much as Avery and Johnson love the Admiral. But I tell you what, let's be honest about the skill set. Joel Embiid has the low post moves of Hakeem Olajuwon. Like, yeah, you know, every once in a while Olajuwon was good because he'd do his little crossover, do the fake, put the ball out there, spin back. Kevin McHale was a beast too, but I don't know if you call him a true center. But Joel Embiid being able to shoot the three at a high level, not just the Euro step alone shows you his athleticism. He would take Shaq out. Shaq wouldn't come out past 18 feet. And Joel would just raise up, step back. He got step back threes. Like, let's give this kid his credit. We won't appreciate him until we're gone because we're living in the moment. I'm just projecting what I think he's going to continue to be if he stays healthy. And I think if you put that together, more skills than the Admiral, just as good defensive, not as good as defensively as the Admiral, but rebounds, all that stuff, come on, son.
You act like the guy, like, shoots threes like Steph Curry. Like, he's taking seven game.
He can.
Really?
He can. If he now he don't have to handle the ball as much. He like supposedly with James Harden, it's not so much him having the ball in his hands.
This is what I hate. Is that because I'm arguing, I have to now say bad things about a player that I think has turned himself into a great player. Like, and I hate doing that. But that's what you're doing. I mean, like you've convinced me that I have to start tearing him apart as if he's not a great player.
You can't. And if he wins MVP this year, which he should have won it or could have won it last year, but if he wins it this year and start adding MVPs to it, he's going to strengthen my debate.
Listen, your best ability is your availability, your durability, and those are two major questions.
Yeah, so says Yao Ming.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Bart versus everybody today. Just saying all kinds of blasphemous stuff.
Man, I got people texting me and stuff. I don't even know who this is. He's like, yo, man. He's like, oh, this is my boy Freddie. This is my boy Freddie, the best cameraman in the business. He said, bro, I love you, brother, but you lost your damn mind, Bill Russell.
I got one text.
Bill Russell played when it was black and white. And it was no free agency. And the only person he had to go with.
Actually.
Well, what was the big man? What was
Bill
the big
Russell
man
played when it was black and white, but it was really mostly white, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. So. What's the big man that Bill Russell had to see on the daily on the game well, game
Wilt,
by game basis?
Wilt was the big
okay.
You know,
Wilt
and
Wilt and who? Russell. Wilt
I
Russell.
I think he had to have played against Mikan a little bit, but Mikan was like 50 years old by then.
Exactly.
Like he must have been older.
And Joel's right? Mikan probably was the
right?
tallest
Dolph
man.
Dolph Shays.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, who were the big guys that they?
Nobody. Come on, man. No free agency.
Right, I'll tell you what,
there.
Though, while it feels like everybody is against you, and I mean they should be because it's moronic what you said, there are some people that actually have your back. Shannon on – it's Shandog, by the way, 722 on Twitter. Bart knows what he's talking about. JoJo is the man. Gilmore, ha-ha. Dirk, stop it. They don't see what we see, Bart. Haters.
Yeah.
So there's – out of the
shout out.
Tons of tweets we've gotten
– hold up.
There's one in your favor. Now, do we have any calls in your favor? 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. How about we go to, man, this can't be a long, this can't be somebody from Long Island, is
Strong
it? Benjamin
Island. Strong
from
Island.
Long Island, Benjamin.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Long time listener. Bart, I'm with you all the way. Whatever you're smoking, I need that too. Because all you're doing is speaking facts this morning. It's all about the skill set. I mean, just think of this. What center do you know, and I'm talking about true center, where they set a play to shoot a three? The example of the Philly versus Toronto series. Last play of the game. Was it Shaq? Was it Mikan? Was it Artis? For what Embiid's doing in terms of controlling the ball, moving it out, step back threes. He doesn't have no silverware yet, so he can't be considered the top guy. But he's on pace there for what he can do with the ball.
All right, tell you what, let's go with this then. He's got all-world talent. We can all agree with that, right? But he can't win a championship without an all-world guard. Can we agree with that? Like, it's not like he's going to be the centerpiece
of a
championship.
Didn't Shaq have Kobe?
That's what I'm saying. So where he is right now. No,
didn't
Witt
have West?
Yes, everybody had the guard. Everybody had that. So that's where now the question with Embiid, as I said at the very beginning of the show, this is reaching the Ewing Knicks 90s levels of, are they ever going to get to the promised land while they have this guy in his prime? Because his clock is ticking, as we know. He does get hurt. And now, if you look at this series and you look at the playoffs, you could see the Sixers, there's no bench. They are not as good as some of the other teams that are still left in the playoffs. So their chances of winning a championship are really low. So that means you're the Sixers. You've got to now go into another season trying to find a way to build a team that is good enough to get this guy a championship while he's still in his prime and still also obviously, you know, upright enough, able enough. I mean, he's 28 years old.
Yeah.
How much time do you think you have left?
Yeah, four more years. That's why I think you go.
At a high level, right? At a high level, best.
But this is a good thing. Like, when he can't really go out there and move like that anymore, he can just go to the post and be that guy again. And he can be a spacer like Brook Lopez, but he still can go down and get buckets galore. He's still a mismatch. Yeah. But Dame Lillard would be the guy that I would go get. And I would give up Maxey for him. And I would give up Maxey and get some relief from Harden. I wouldn't sign him back. I would go out and get Dame Lillard because that type of dynamic inside and outside, losing Maxey is tough. But I would get rid of him and maybe try and bring something back. Maybe Norman Powell. Maybe try and bring – oh, they got rid of Norman Powell already, right?
You're now ready to do – and I just said it. I brought up the Knicks, and you're doing it.
They need Dame Lillard. You said it yourself.
Tyrese Maxey.
He needs a guard. You're ready to move on from young players.
Now we're going to start getting rid of homegrown young players who are emerging.
What did you just say, Alan? He needs a point guard, and you only have 4 years left with this dude. So you can keep Maxey there all you want, and it's just going to be disappointment after disappointment. Dame Lillard is ready to go. He's the type of alpha male that you need and a guy that's still good to go. James Harden is like a two. He's never been a point guard. He's a shooting guard. Would you call him a pure point guard? Like, he's not a Chris Paul point guard.
You saw him last year with Kyrie and KD. Like, when he was he was a maestro. He was tremendous last year.
But when he was in Houston, like, he was a shooting point guard. I'm talking about they need Dame. Well, Dame's a shooting point guard too. He need a guy like Dame. If I can go get Dame, I will go get Dame.
Yeah, well, I mean, that'd be nice. Yeah, if you could make that move, would Portland do it? And then can you get him? And that would certainly be another piece. But the other way to do it is to hope that you tell James Harden, I dare you to opt out. You know no one has cap space. No one's going to pay him $50 million. So you say, get your ass in shape. You can't help the club from the club. You got to help the club by getting in shape.
When you're that old.
And if he shows up next year looking for his payday and plays at a high level, you could benefit from it. To me, it's the only play you have.
But he better call.
You've got to motivate him with money.
He better call Carmelo and Paul and Paul and say, let me get that pagan vegan diet.
Pagan.
Get them whatever it is.
The pagan
paleo
diet.
Paleo. Yeah. Alec, you poor. There's a starvation diet. Get hungry.
It's the paleo vegan diet. Put it together. It's the pagan diet. And it's the only thing that might work for James Harden and the Sixers. Who knows? But still, that's, to me, their best option. All right, coming up, we'll bring in a former NBA player to hopefully put some, I don't know, perspective on this conversation, and also get into some other things NBA next. Barton Hahn.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.